Welcome to Character Explorations, a podcast production of the Wendt Center for Character Education at the University of Dubuque. I'm Mary Bryant, Director of Media and Programming for the Wendt Center. On today's episode, we welcome Shia Chapin, Assistant Professor of Law, and Vladimir Hudson, a Senior Flight Operations Major and a Wendt Character Scholar at the University of Dubuque. They are talking about the meaning of citizenship and virtues that are involved in public service. Thank you both for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. And Professor Chapin, thanks for agreeing to do this in your busy schedule.
Absolutely.
So I think one of the first questions that I have for you as we embark on our journey of discussing citizenship is, how do you engage as a citizen? What does a citizen with good civic virtues do on the engagement side of things?
I attempt to focus more on public service, finding where the need of our fellow humans are and then meeting that. Sometimes that need is just holding space for someone with an addiction in prison or an addiction in our local jail, who just needs someone to understand that, you know, I'll hold space for you regardless of how this turns out. My emotions aren't going to be attached to the outcome of your case. But I think just being a good human is just meeting everyone where they're at and being okay with it.
Absolutely. I agree. I think in my friendships here at the university and the time that I've spent here, especially as I've transitioned into my role as more of an instructor at the Flight Center, I definitely understand the idea of taking things at face value and just being able to listen to people and put some of those other perspectives or preconceived notions that we have aside. Just for a little bit of background for those that don't know too much about you or all the awesome things that you've done for the community, would you mind maybe just sharing a little bit about that?
Certainly. So I'm currently an assistant professor of law here and our department head for our criminal justice department. Prior to this, I was our felony drug prosecutor. I did that for several years. I grew up in a very small town. My mom was single for a while. We had a household where sometimes we had everything that we needed, and sometimes we just recognized that what we had was what we needed to respect. And so kind of watching that situation and just the love and compassion that we had, my twin sister and I got involved in our law enforcement explorers. And I think at the time it was also just a way, like maybe one other adult who cared, which is sometimes what I try to bring through at UD. I think that sometimes a human just needs one caring adult to be successful, whether it's another adult that I'm helping or a student. But I worked my way through college. I went to the University of Northern Iowa, and I have a criminology and sociology degree. I worked at the Cedar Falls Police Department as a community resource officer, and then was a 911 dispatcher, jailer, and EMT for a couple years before I went to law school at Drake. And rather than working in a law office while I was in law school, I worked as an EMT in the local ER for our one hospital in Des Moines that we served a population that was financially disadvantaged, but also I think sometimes emotionally disadvantaged as well. And so just kind of meeting people where they were was important to me. So I intended to go to law school for criminal law or criminal justice standpoint. For reasons I still don't even really fully understand, I hated my criminal law class in law school and took a civil rights route. And then I came to Dubuque in 2005 when I graduated from law school. I was hired to be a nonprofit lawyer with Iowa Legal Aid. So I did that for a while, but I was so broke financially myself that I couldn't afford to work there anymore. I was borrowing money from my grandparents. So I actually became our first assistant attorney general for the state of Iowa assigned to Dubuque. So I was our first assistant AG, and I did that. I did child support enforcement and establishment for about 7 to 7.5 years. And then I became a prosecutor, and I worked my way up from traffic court up to our felony drug position. And then when I had a calling that I needed to do something different, and I wasn't sure what that was, but I was aware of that, and that took a couple years to recognize that UD was where God wanted me for now, so I'm here.
That's wonderful. It seems like you've done a lot of really good things and helped a lot of different people lot of different areas. So I guess one question that I have for you with all of the different experiences we talk about virtues is, I know over the years there have been some shifts in the way that society perceives certain topics or maybe is willing to discuss certain topics. Is there anything in particular that you can think of with all the different experiences that you've had that has been a virtue that you see that has been lacking or lacks a little bit more than others within people?
Compassion is the first thing that's coming to my mind. I think that we just seem so disconnected from one another, whether that's a lack of empathy for your neighbor. Currently in the current political climate that we're in, it seems that there's always this us versus them mentality. And I think that strives through regardless of whether you're in law enforcement and it's like the state versus the defense or law enforcement versus the people who are being arrested and charged. And I think that sometimes we just need to sit back for a second and recognize that we're all in this together. I often think that the way people perceive others is really just a reflection of their internal emotions and their mindset, as opposed to the people that they're actually reflecting upon. And there's just a lot of pain and suffering. And I think that if we all just kind of came together and were here for one another, that would bring healing to our community.
I really agree. I think some of those things are very, very important. And I think maybe if we tie that to the first thing that we discussed with, you know, putting some of our preconceived notions aside and seeing things more at face value, putting that together with compassion, do you have any advice to those who might be struggling in this very polarizing political climate where there's a lot of disagreements? Do you have any advice for somebody who maybe wants to start being more open-minded? Or
certainly I approach this more from an internal standpoint, how I would handle things, and I always recognize that just because someone else would do something differently doesn't make it wrong. But for me, I recognize that everyone comes with such different experiences. Everyone is going through something right now that I'll never even be aware of or understand. And just holding space for another human to have a viewpoint or a vantage point that doesn't have to be anything similar to mine. It's not a reflection upon me when someone disagrees with me. I'm perfectly capable of having my own viewpoints without even sharing them, or having my own viewpoints that are different than someone else, and it never even crosses my mind that other person is a less of a human or less deserving because they think differently. I just recognize that we're kind of, whether we're a melting pot or a salad bowl, we're all in this together.
I love that. I love that. Whether we're a melting pot or a salad bowl, we need to put that in like a book. That's so awesome.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So we've kind of been tossing around this idea of a civic virtue. How would you maybe go about defining that if you could?
The phrase civic virtue feels a bit elusive to me. I'm not sure I can ever quite pinpoint what I view as a civic virtue. Things that I hold incredibly important would be integrity and justice. I don't think that you can have integrity without justice or justice without integrity. To me, they go hand in hand. I think that if everyone is going through life interacting with others as though, whether we say in the Jesus way, the way Jesus would do that, or interacting with people and giving to them without ever wanting something in return or without ever expecting something in return. I just want to make sure that I live my life in a way that is positively impacting everyone, and that this world is a better place when I leave. Sometimes I know there's guilt and shame if perhaps, an interaction didn't go the way I wanted it to, or maybe there's some past traumas that come through that need to be healed, and just recognize that everyone else goes through that as well. And so I just try to provide the best I can with what I have, or get people maybe to other resources that I wouldn't be able to provide. But just trying to love my neighbor.
Awesome. And when we talk about loving your neighbor and seeking different avenues in a professional sense with students who are moving into, you know, their new careers and their new lives, trying to build a future, because of your specialization in law, what advice would you give to an upcoming law student or maybe somebody studying criminal justice? Because from my understanding, that career can be very difficult at times when you are presented with people that are sometimes not necessarily presented as people. They're presented as solely criminals, and all you hear or all you know or all you can prosecute is an offense that they made or that they committed or that they may have committed and maybe may not have committed at the same time. How can you allow these virtues to shine through when in a career like that where you might be presented with a situation where you, you know, are only given negatives about somebody, or, you know, somebody is given to you in a negative light right off the bat?
So the first thing I do when I'm talking to students, whether they're looking at pre-law or criminal justice, most of the questions I get is, you know, what is the best avenue for me? What would be the best course action for me to take to be successful? And my common response is like, what do you care the most about? What makes your heart sing? What makes your soul so satisfied? And that's where you need to go. There is no right way or wrong way to go about. Perhaps like people who are wanting to go into pre-law or going to law school themselves. I mean, you could have a philosophy major, an English major, a criminal justice major, aviation major. There's so many things that you can do. You just need to bring yourself to the table, and don't ever do something in a way that doesn't feel right to you just because someone else has had success with that. I think what we struggle with the most in our criminal justice community is the, you know, like, oh, your client's a defendant, or your client this, or your client that. I'm like, my client is a human. My client has likely either committed the crime that they're charged with or done something that may societally be inappropriate, whether they've been overcharged or not. But many times, like just today, has been just one of those days I've just interacted with so much suffering. You know, my clients who are in jail and have substance abuse addictions, and just seeing through that, seeing through the addiction, seeing through their trauma, and just holding space and making eye contact with them and smiling with them. And sometimes my throat will get tight while they're crying, and they recognize that as well. And I just believe in them and want the best for them. And it's becoming apparent to me now as taking on criminal defense cases that's not something that they're ever used to. I have one client who I believe in so very much, and she's 28 years old. She's been through a lot. She's been arrested 22 times, 5 times just being this summer. Wow. And I just keep telling her, like, you got this. I believe in you. And she started crying. I'm like, oh my gosh, are you okay? And she's like, nobody's ever told me that before. 28 years old and has never had anyone believe in her. And so sometimes I think if I can just be that one adult that cares and holds space for her to succeed, or maybe even falter in her way, you know, in her process of success, I think that's the best thing. And that's what I bring to the table. That may not be something that one of my other students brings to the table, right? Maybe they have a different knack or something, but I always just follow your heart, do what feels right in your gut, and don't allow other people's viewpoints or criticisms or prejudice to prejudice your outlook on life.
That's awesome. I love that. It really reminds me of in the teaching role, taking it all the way down to Maslow's, you know, when you're talking about safety and security, that seemingly basic level of safety and security, I feel like is missing in a lot of relationships. And bringing it down to that basic level of just looking them in the eye and telling them that they are secure with somebody who believes in them is really wonderful. Okay, well, I think we have talked about some good things, and I think we've brought up a lot of good points. And I think as we wrap up a very polarizing season, that everybody can see through the bigger picture or these big polarizing items, and like you said, see each other at face value and look each other in the eyes and say, I appreciate you for being you, and I'm grateful that you're in my life. So thank you very much for all the insight that you've given, and I really appreciate your time here today.
Well, thank you, Shia and Vladimir, for your thoughts on citizenship and living a compassionate life in service of others. I really appreciate your conversation today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks.